And our gospel reading for today is from Luke 4, 11 to 21. Sorry, 14 to 21. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in the synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Let's pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing unto you this day. And in your name, amen. Today, we find Jesus doing something quite ordinary: teaching. This is the story Luke chooses to begin his telling of Jesus' ministry. The time after the birth and the baptism of Jesus. This is unique. Matthew, in his account, chooses to begin his story with one of the most famous of Jesus' sermons, the Grand Sermon on the Mount. The one that's proclaimed, "Blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That one. Mark also decides to begin his story of Jesus' ministry with some Jesus doing something extraordinary. Jesus' first act during his ministry is to perform a miracle, casting out a demon from the tortured human being. In Luke's story, though, we find Jesus doing something that all Jewish males were permitted to do at this time: to read the scripture in the synagogue and then discuss it with all the people there. And in this case, there would have been a crowd. Reports of his ministry were spreading quickly, not only in Nazareth, but in the surrounding areas as well. The news about this teacher and healer were becoming more and more known as Jesus traveled around, teaching in synagogues. It's helpful to note here that synagogues had a distinct purpose. They were different from the tented tabernacle of the Old Testament, where Israelites would make animal sacrifices and where God would preside in pillars of fire. They were also different from the temple in Jerusalem, where it was custom for ceremony and ritual and worship to happen. Synagogues, however, served as gathering places of learning and study, where Jews would come to teach and interpret the scripture. Throughout the Gospels, we find Jesus in these synagogues a lot. On this particular day, Jesus finds himself back in his hometown of Nazareth, and it's the Sabbath. He stands up. This day's reading is from the prophet Isaiah. Jesus unrolls the large scroll placed before him, and he reads, "The Spirit has sent me to proclaim good news to the poor, release to the captives, sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The year of the Lord's favor. Many believe that this is a reference to the year of Jubilee. According to the law in the book of Leviticus, the year of Jubilee was the year occurring every 50 years in the Old Testament. It was the year for the people of ancient Israel when the fields were supposed to be left without being farmed, when debts were to be forgiven, and slaves were to be released from bondage. One year when the normal economics of the day were forgotten and temporarily replaced with property redistribution, harvest, debt forgiveness, and celebration. The year was to represent to the Israelites God's deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt. A reminder to God's people that all property, all resources, all things that were owned by the Israelites were first and foremost a gift from God. After he's finished reading, Jesus then rolls up the scroll, hands it back to the attendant, and sits down. He sits down and says, "Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Today. Isn't it interesting that according to Luke, the first word to come out of Christ's mouth as an adult, after the recitation of scripture, is today. It isn't a vague prophecy about a time in the distant future, not a one day or a someday, but a today. Now, the year of the Lord's favor is now. Jesus's today must mean so much more than an off season for the soil. More than a year, more than a representation of God's reign, it's about God's kingdom come. It's a right now kind of thing. It's Emmanuel, God with us. Following common synagogue practice, Jesus sits down to discuss and interpret the scripture that was read with those assembled. But if Jesus continues to expound on the scripture, Luke doesn't say. If Jesus then goes on to deliver an entire sermon about Isaiah, Luke doesn't tell us. What is recorded after Jesus sits down and after the today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing is, "All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth." Gracious words. When we read on, we find the crowd's reaction quickly turning from awe to anger. But in this moment, in this pause, in this instant of time, when the eyes of the crowd are fixed on Jesus, in this today, Jesus speaks with gracious words. An op-ed writer, David Brooks, recently wrote a piece entitled "Students Learn from People They Love," in which he argues just that. Citing the work of scientists who show the connection between emotion and reason, Brooks contends that, quote, "The job of a school is that it gives students new things to love, an exciting new area of study, new friends." It reminds us that when teachers really teach, they teach themselves. Their contagious passion for their subjects and students. It reminds us that children learn from people they love, and that love in this context means willing the good of another and of offering active care for the whole person. End quote. I imagine that this is the kind of thing going on here in the synagogue with Jesus. Speaking with gracious words, God who is love teaches himself. With gracious words, Christ teaches us that his today is not the kind of thing that expires. It's about us as church here and now. It's about the reign of God breaking into this world, these relationships, and these people. All that in Isaiah about good news to the poor and sight to the blind and release to the captive, it's about redeemed relationships. The year of Jubilee happens among us in those moments of time when the way we are with each other becomes more like Christ. In Christ's today, we see ourselves as God sees us, whole and blessed no matter what we've done and no matter what's been done to us. In Christ's today, we release the burden of having to defend ourselves in fear and anger. In Christ's today, those postures of attack towards each other that might have become second nature start to slip away and become less familiar. Where judgment and envy and pride begin to look strange to us. Where withdrawing and distancing ourselves from one another in hurt and fear is no more. It's in Jesus's today that genuine being with each other takes place. Teaching and learning, loving and caring, the year of Jubilee, gracious words. Now, it's at this point that we might find ourselves pausing with a little skepticism. We might start to wonder, is this picture a little too rosy and idealistic, given what we know about ourselves and about the people we know well? Is it actually possible for Jesus' today to be something that happens with us, with these people, with me? Is this today thing for real? To this, Christ reminds us his role of teacher and our role as students of the kingdom. This today thing is possible. But in addition to understanding ourselves as redeemed people of God, Christ invites us into a world where we have to put this into practice. Our being together as the people of God, as church, provides us the space to practice these skills, a workshop for learning and growing. It's where our apprenticeship to Jesus Christ, the master craftsman, takes place. Putting on Christ's likeness, much like learning a new skill, is something that's practiced, honed, and developed. It's trial, it's error, it's correction, and it's refining. It's stumbling, and it's improving as we continually learn to see and hear and treat one another the way that Christ sees and hears and treats us. This past week, I had the opportunity to learn a little bit about the banners that line our sanctuary from one of our members. These banners contain symbols that teach us about who God is and that remind us of what it means to be a part of God's story. More practically, though, I learned about the activity involved in the project of making these banners together. The pattern making, the stitching, the commissioning of sewers, the organizing, the photography for the banners, all of this activity, this craftsmanship, represented all by the people involved. Not only were church members involved in the sewing, but their friends and those who are no longer able to come to church. Each one had a flower to sew, a fabric to choose, a pattern to design. Even those who might not be visible on a given Sunday were involved in the project. These banners remind us that Christ is present, still teaching us with his gracious words, encouraging and inviting us into fellowship with one another as we practice and refine our skills involved in being more like him. The year of the Lord's favor, Jubilee, today. Amen.